In the regular world, Halloween is when children dress up in costumes and beg for candy. In girl world, Halloween is the one night a year when a girl can dress like a total slut and no other girls can say anything about it. The hardcore girls just wear lingerie and some form of animal ears.
Doesn't she look great, honey?
What are you?
I'm a mouse. Duh.
Ahoy, tent pirates, plant parents, conscious consumers, and the morbidly curious. Welcome to Cultivation Conversation, a podcast for growers by growers. Come chat with our hosts, Captain Autoflower, the Real Green Monsta, and myself, Girl Go Grow. Grab a bouquet of your favorite flowers, apparatus of choice, and don't forget the fire while I tell you about the special companies that help keep this ship afloat. We are busy people, and we demand the best for our plants, so all three of us automate our grows with AutoPots. Available in over 63 countries, gravity-powered AutoPot systems rely on no pumps, no timers, and no power to operate. This plant-driven automated watering is so precise, it will reduce consumption of feed while increasing yield. An effective and efficient way to delegate a little responsibility. Let your plants feed themselves. Use code CC10 at autopot-usa.com. If quality is the name of your game, look no further than AC Infinity. AC Infinity's grow tents, lights, accessories, and ventilation systems offer reliability and affordability along with total environmental control. Use code CULTIVATION on acinfinity.com to save even more. Frass Valley produces the highest quality superworm frass. Naturally strengthen your plants and enhance their resistance to pests and disease. Use code CC10 at frassvalley.com. We are big fans of Mass Hydroponics. Whether you're a local in Massachusetts or accessing their full online catalog, they are your one-stop shop for all of your growing needs. Use code CC10 at mass-hydro.com.
What is going on, everybody out there in podcast land?
What is up, motherfucker?
What's up, my darlings?
Thursday action. Trying not to die from this last hit I just took.
Pay no attention to the day on the calendar. What matters is that we are here. We are gathered in the sacred communal space to talk about cannabis. It's a good day. What's up? Mm. What are you smoking on already, man? Choking to death over there. Ah, your little Dr. Dabber.
Yeah.
Yep. It's like, it sounds like a vibrator.
I fucking hate it, honestly. I hate the vibrations. I'm already over it, you know. It vibrates when you turn it on. It vibrates when it gets up to temp. It vibrates when you shut it off. Just enough already.
You don't need haptic
any more vibrations. I'm gonna fucking find a thing in my wife's nightstand.
Yeah,
like the sound of her own voice.
It's all this, like, you know, these iPhones and the, they call it haptic feedback, like when you get like a little,
I turn that shit off, just a battery trainer.
Yeah,
that's the way I look at it.
I don't need that shit on my smoking device, but every once in a while when I touch a cell phone, it's nice to know it registered as a touch. But yeah, man, what is it, the anaphylaxis live rosin
cherry smash?
Cheers to that. Look at this dank looking IPA I got.
Goodness.
Oh, boy.
Unfiltered.
Very hazy.
That's like straight from the teat right there. It's fucking delicious. So
besides the what's in the stein there, what are you puffing on?
Yep. That's her twin.
So I got a nice dank IPA with like New Zealand hops. Mm-hmm. They're very weird. very weird. So I am pairing it with a little Violet Beauregard number one. The non-keeper,
the one you really like. Right?
Yeah, so this is the one that's like blueberries and Bloody Marys.
Mm-hmm.
Like the celery salt pheno.
It's not a disappointment, just not not as good as the other one.
Not at all.
I mean, now, have like, you found anybody that,
crazy.
That disagrees with you, that smoked the two?
Like, no.
What is Rare Orange?
He disagreed with himself in the beginning.
I just didn't want to believe. I just didn't want to believe that I kept that I was planning on keeping the wrong one.
Because okay. like this is the keeper. I'm like, are you sure? He was like, everything. Wow, my wife agrees.
Everything about this one, like I just love the bud structure. I love the yield. Love the way the plant looked when it was growing. It like you know, it checked all those grower boxes, but like the smoker boxes, I think outweigh the grower boxes. At least for me, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then when I sampled them, it was like, oh, fuck. Like, this is really what I'm after in this, the pheno that I didn't re-veg. So, but all things considered, like, this is still phenomenal weed, okay? And I am going to fucking enjoy the hell out of it. This one has more of a sedative effect, for sure. So if I start nodding off, you'll know what to blame it on. While I'm grinding this up, what do you got, G3?
I've got Funky Magnifera.
Nice. Yeah, one of those mango babies.
Manga Smile crossed with Livers BX1. She's okay. She's pretty middle of the road.
She's mid, as the kids would say.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... She's... I mean, I wouldn't call her mids. I don't grow mids.
That's, no, not mids. Not mids, but mid.
Yeah, she's just kind of like... She's okay. She's okay.
Isn't that textbook definition of mids?
I mean, I guess it depends on where your standards lie.
Like mid-tier? Like middle of the road? Like it's not great, but it's not gonna knock your socks off?
I'm a freaking weed snob, so... Yeah. I'm not going to admit that I grow bad weed.
True. That's what I was trying to get you to say is like, I guess I grew mids, but no, like
it's
you're
not bad. It's fine. It's
what
good.
You
it's
perceive not... now as a 5 out of 10, maybe, or, you know, like true mid, right? 5 out of 10 is still a 9 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10.
I would give
on
it a solid 7
most
and
people's
or
standards.
Eight, but yeah.
All right. She's humble. She's modest. But that,
I do try.
That's definitely one I still want to try.
Out of a Mango Smile Baby, I expect a little more. You know, my expectations are raised from the jump. So they either perform or they don't. And she just kind of like, she's fine.
Fair enough.
She's fine. You know, she's certainly my go-to show strain right now. She's the best for that, but overall, she's just, like, kind of okay. She's got this, like, goat cheese thing going on. It's okay.
Goat cheese terps.
You know, if you want goat cheese, you kind of got to be in the mood for goat cheese, and you're not always in the mood for goat cheese. So.
Oh, I will smoke to that. I will smoke to that. Ain't always in the mood for goat cheese. So look at this beautiful new bong. That I got.
Stunning.
Looks fancy.
Ooh, so pretty.
It is so clean. It is so ready to fucking smoke. You have no idea. And I always, when I get a new bong, I get a new ash catcher as well. And this is...
You know, I'm not one for accessories on bongs. I like to keep it simple. But that is one thing I will always advocate for, is a good ash catcher. Because it's going to keep that bong way cleaner. You won't have to fucking be scrubbing it as much. If you just change the water daily, you know, you're pretty much good most of the time.
Yeah. A good serious level functions.
Yep.
With that thing.
Oh, we'll get into the ins and outs of like why I chose, you know, this exact, like, this is all I was after, right? The simplicity is key for me.
So why did you decide, first of all, why did you decide you needed a new bong? Like, what was like, okay, this is happening, I need a new bong. What was the trigger that made that happen?
I will let you
His wife smashed him over the head with the other one.
While I smoke a hit. Hold on.
That was my first suspicion, but I needed confirmation.
Wifey smashed it over his fucking head.
It is very pretty. I like the blue swirlies.
Oh. Mm.
Oh, bitch.
Delicious. So, one more, I think. Okay. The reason I got a new bong is because my old one, every hit that I took tasted like Rez. Tasted like a fucking Rez ball. Remember the old days when you were out of weed and you had to scrape your fucking bowl and get that disgusting chunk of fucking black tar resin?
I mean,
we don't
like
to admit
it, but I was there in like the mid-90s, at least a couple times.
We all smoked a Rez ball in our day. We are all disgusting, disgusting cannabis addicts.
I feel like people nowadays never had to really experience that because cannabis is way more readily available.
They don't know the struggle.
It's still expensive for some of these kids. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's a stoner alive who hasn't at one point sunk to the bottom of that barrel and scraped a bowl for some fucking Rez just to get a little high, you know? Don't be ashamed to admit it. We've all been there.
Yeah.
But you're disgusting, and I'm ashamed of you. Mm-hmm. At the same time.
Yeah. Don't be ashamed, but I'm
No, don't be ashamed. Let me be ashamed of you. It's different.
Like a sad
We're not
papa.
Laughing with you, we're laughing at you.
So every single hit, no matter what strain I was smoking, like I couldn't even taste the terps anymore. And I think just through the usage over time, even though I do clean the thing like obsessively, it just something was like in the pores of the glass, if that makes any sense. Like it had just, I don't know.
How long had you had it?
About 2.5-3 years, and it's my, you know, daily driver.
Did you try boiling it?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
Yeah. And there was like a little on the ash catcher, there was some layers of, you know, black Rez on the bottom in particular that just like would not come off. It was just caked on there. Nothing I could really do. So I cleaned and cleaned and cleaned, and still it tasted like Rez, and I was just like, I had it up to fucking here. I'm gonna go buy a new bong. It is what it is. So you know,
does the old one have like a lot of those like fancy like percolator holes or something?
That's a good question. No. It's a beaker bong, much like this. This is literally has no percolators, okay?
Yeah.
It's a straight beaker bong.
Amen on that choice, goes, by the way.
Yeah, right?
Why don't you like perks?
Because they fucking have a gimmick for one, and they get clogged like a motherfucker.
Like too hard to clean.
And they're restrictive. I don't care what anyone says. You're not getting a better hit. You're getting less of a hit. It's all like, look, the reality of it is there's very many bongs with like percolators or whatever that are actually designed to work better that way. They're just Chinese fucking retards like throwing shit together to like, oh, that looks cool, and some fucking stupid American will buy it. I'm positive that there are bongs that have features like that are probably make it perform better, but very far and few between, in my opinion.
I'll agree with that. And like, there's it's a very specific ratio of form and function in a bong.
Yeah,
you know?
Especially like, your fucking midget joints howling.
He says, you know what doesn't clog? A joint. And that's true, man. But you know, I can't roll joints and I don't like packing cones all the time. Like, for me, having a bong as like a fucking centerpiece on my like coffee table in my living room, it like that's like mandatory, okay?
That's the vibe you're walking into.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's, you know, it's like part of the decor of the room,
the
man.
The vase of fresh flowers.
pretty much, you know, like you know you're in for a good time when you see that nice clean bong sitting right there. So again, like, no to the percolators, because I just hate the fucking cleaning process. They don't, I never, like, my old one had one percolator, okay, right here, like, in the middle of the, what do you call it, the tube, right? I never even filled it with water, because the thing would splash, okay, like, no splash guard. You could get those, but again, I find all these features, like Monsta said, will restrict airflow and will prevent you from, like, getting the best possible hit. This amount of water filtration right here is all you fucking need. All you fucking need.
Also, another big mistake, no pun intended, I think people make with bongs is they go too big. I think you're like right at the spot there from being too big. You know, it's a little bigger than I'd probably get, but it's not something you'd have trouble ripping, you know? Obviously.
So I think this is an 18. Could be wrong. Yeah, it looks like an 18er to me. And it's thick, you know what I mean? Like, very thick, sturdy. It's not going to move anywhere you really have to, like, give it a good push to get its center of gravity off balance, which is key again for, like, it's sitting there on the coffee table all day.
So that's why I love those beakers. They have such a low center of gravity.
Amen.
Versus the ones that are just like the tubes with the feet on the bottom.
Yep.
Half a second.
A like vertical tube bong. Things, yeah. So again, yeah, like, there's so many different types, and like, I looked and looked and looked at all these newfangled, you know, I don't want to call them gimmicky type of devices.
No, I think a lot of them are gimmicky.
They may be. They may very well not be at the same time. I don't know. But what I do know is that a classic, just one, you know, this is the, like this. If you asked a person 1,000 years ago to design the world's perfect smoking device, it would literally be this. They would come up with this. It's very simple. It's efficient. It uses water, fire, air. You know, there's gravity in here
Earth,
somewhere
air,
too.
Fire,
so,
and water,
you know.
All of them, and spirit.
Well, gravity is in the gravity bombs. There. But you know what I'm saying. It's like, you don't need to really overthink this. So, yeah, I say sidestep any of those new gimmicky devices if you're in the market. There's nothing that beats a fucking beaker bong.
Nah, beaker bong for the win, man.
So I'm extremely happy with my purchase. You know, it's not even a brand. I just went to a local shop, you know.
Does the wife approve?
Oh, yeah.
So what made you choose that one specifically?
It's actually a little too big for her. You know what I mean? Like,
especially for a daily driver.
She's used to the one that's a little smaller.
You don't say.
So this one's a little big. But I mean bongs, guys. I mean bongs. What'd you say, G3? I'm sorry, I had to get a dick joke out.
I wanted to know what made you choose that one specifically. Like, walking in and looking through all of what they had to offer, what made you walk out with that one?
So this was the one that, like, checked every box. It was as simple, straightforward beaker bong as they get. You know, they had maybe...
Didn't they have, like, 16 that looked just like that? Like, what made you choose that one specifically?
I like blue. Blue is my favorite color. As you know, you see the walls of this room here are blue. I've always liked blue. My eyes drawn to it. And I thought the Ash Ketcher matched rather nicely with that, like, that green. Like,
it just looks. You didn't have to purchase separately?
So, no, these were separate purchases, right? But another reason that I went with this exact combo is because of, like, the exact fit on this Ash Ketcher with this bong. It is perfect. It is completely level. You know what I mean? Like, if I set it down, the top of the bowl is parallel, right, with the ground. So, or the table that I set it on. And for it being not like a paired thing, like that's pretty rare. So it was just like meant to be.
Super important though. Yeah. That's incredibly important. You have Keef sitting on top of a bowl and it's not parallel with the ground. Sorry. That sucks.
It can make it a little tricky too when you're like this angle when you're lighting it, and then if like removing the stem from the ash catcher then to take your hit, mm-hmm. It can get a little crazy. So there you go, guys. My take on bongs. I'm you know, I did ask about the Stubenglas. Have you seen these fucking things? It's the thing
so cool.
Seth Rogen uses.
Ridiculous, but freaking Snoop cool. Dogg.
What are they, like $500 bongs?
No, more than that. Come on, come on. If Snoop Dogg's promoting it, man.
Yeah. Which, is really?
All right. I got to bring this up because it's ridiculous, man. If you haven't seen this.
5K, Icky Sticky just said. That's fucking
no,
crazy.
It's not that much. It's not that much. Not that much.
That thing better fucking.
That look like giant pills, right?
And you flip them. Yes. Lips
that'd blow me too.
Yeah
they like look new age gravity bomb, basically.
Is that what it's called? Stubenglas?
Oh, those flip bongs?
Yeah.
You can buy knockoffs on fucking Alibaba for like $100, $150.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? It's probably not this. Oh, Stubenglas.
Stubenglas.
Student. Okay. Here we go.
It's basically like a fancy gravity bong, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Water is.
It's literally like I had a device I used to call the dub, and it was just a waterfall. You know, you'd pull a Sobe bottle.
How much is it?
Fuck, man. I thought it was like $600-700.
Yeah. Suck my hog. You can find that same fucking thing on like Alibaba.
600.
Yeah, my cousin has one with that logo on it. He paid like $200 for it. It's a knockoff. It's the same. Where's the same shit, dude? No. Blow me.
Mons is personally offended by.
I this. Really am, honestly.
Fuck like, this bong in
but
particular.
But you could get a Grateful Dead branded one. Oh, yeah. That's fucking cool, man.
How easy is it
dude,
to?
If
to
somebody walked
your
in with
head.
That, I'd be like, dude, such a poser. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah,
that.
You
it
ain't
just
no deadhead.
The smoke in your face.
There's no deadhead in their right mind would spend $600.
I don't know a single wook who would spend $700 on a bomb,
a big
dude.
Deadhead. And I know he wouldn't spend that kind of money on a fucking. I mean, look, pretty cool. You know, it looks like a hookah too. Like you have like two choices there, but yeah, just no. Like it's not worth $600. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's more a conversation piece, I think.
300, like seems
yeah.
fair.
Then we're talking, you know.
Yeah.
Same.
You gotta keep those things super clean too. I bet.
I have questions about like the smoke getting stale though. Like legit.
Yeah, I don't really know the physics of how this all operates. Like it confuses the hell out of me. Not gonna lie.
Look how much. So, gosh, I don't. It feels like it would be super wasteful as well.
That too.
That thing is filled. With smoke, and then it just shoves all the smoke in your face.
It seems like a like if you know like something like a college kid should have. Quite frankly, no, I'm serious. Like, you know, cool.
If anybody Again. Has one of these, I would love to hear what you actually
oh,
think
know
of it and
for
how much
fact,
you actually use.
I used to make a thing just like this, except it didn't like have a gyroscopic element to it. Okay, it wasn't like the flip and. Gravity bong effect, but it's the same fucking
Dude,
thing.
If
it's,
you don't have the flip.
You
want to
make a gravity bong out of glass? I can show you, and it, you know, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Again,
hard pass for me.
I think this.
I wasn't clear already.
Type of newfangled, you know, smoking. For my purposes, I'll pass. Just give me an old fashioned beaker bong or a joint. Just can't roll.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong, I love joints, but you can't beat the bong.
Amen. So yeah, let me, speaking of beaker bongs, I'm gonna pack one more for the road here. Because
what about you, G3?
What?
What are you smoking on? Did you already say?
This is that Funky Magnifera.
Funky Magnifera.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Tell me a little bit more about it.
Goat cheese mango.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. Gross.
Sorry. It's all right.
Well, you know why. You know where we're going, right? You know why I said one for the road. We're going to a place I don't think we've gone before. I wanted to talk about acids, not the purple blotter type that Hank's really into.
Can you take a pic and then teach us all?
Yeah, delicious. Blueberries and, what did I say, Bloody Marys?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you've probably heard of humic acids. Maybe you've even heard of fulvic acids.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
What the fuck are they? What are we talking about? What do they do?
They both kind of do the same thing. In some ways, it's kind of hard to explain. But a humic acid is it's more of like a larger molecule. Probably, best used in organics, if quite frankly. Fulvic acid, on the other hand, usually a little bit more readily available to the plant. It's going to help you absorb more nutrients.
Correct. So if we even just back up way before that, humic and fulvic acids are an organic compound. It is like it is part of the breaking down of organic matter. When you think about just use coal is literally the perfect, like we're going to be talking probably a lot about that because these things share a lot of properties in common with coal. Think of them quite literally as coal before it turns into coal. Maybe without the pressure involved, okay? Maybe without like certain types of oxidation processes that might happen when coal is made. But it's the same shit. It's organic matter that's been decaying for a long time. It is once living things that are now dead, compacted on top of each other in a layer in the earth. And they're most commonly found in like this layer of the earth they call like the I can't even say it because this bong rip's affecting my speech. Leonardite. The Leonardite layer. Leonardite. Oh my god. Fucking Leonard. Yes, what is it?
Leonardite
layer. Yes. And it's like literally coal before it turns into coal, guys. There's no combustible property to it though, again, because there's some like lack of oxygen involved. But it's the same shit. Okay, and we're gonna take this stuff that we can find in the earth, and we can add it to our soil, to our media. Okay, whatever you're using, whether it's, like Monsta said, it's mainly a thing we're gonna use in organic growing, but this can be used for anyone. It's gonna do nothing but benefit whatever kind of nutrients you are involved, okay?
Yeah, if you're a salt grower, you could use it like to make a tea with, mm-hmm. which I have before. But like adding it to your cocoa pots or whatever, I probably wouldn't recommend that.
Like, there's a couple products too you can go get that are just, essentially like humic acid. You're gonna find it sometimes in liquid form it looks like motor Slush. Oil.
Yeah.
Yeah. It yeah. looks like, you know, it's, that's basically what it is.
But, okay?
We can find it makes powder. A
great humic and fulvic product.
Yes. And that's kind of what got me thinking about it, because I've been using it a shit ton. Do you know what the name of the product is?
I think it's literally as simple as called Humix and Fulvix or something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe they do have that. All right, we'll bring up their website. Now, the one that I've been using, the two that I've been using in particular, okay, are the Nourish L and the, it's called Fruit and Vegetable Yield Enhancer. And if you read the labels of what's on those or in those products, it's primarily humic and fulvic compounds. And again, like, they both look like fucking sludge, like motor oil, but they're not, it's not goopy. It's a less viscous, but it still has that blackish hue. And it does like stain your hands, right? If you get it on them. Now, I also have this product from Cold War Organics called Angel's Touch, which was my first introduction to humic and fulvic acids.
Is that the stuff you throw on your blunt?
No, no.
Oh, that's something else.
that's Angel's Dust. When we didn't have that shit, we'd just dip it in formaldehyde, call it a Sherm stick. You ever do one of those?
No comment.
Do not recommend. no comment. All right. So. This is one. Okay. This is a product of theirs that does. It's very high on humic and fulvics. It's higher on the fulvic acids. Okay. The reason is, well, the reason I can tell is because it says foliar spray. Like Monsta said, one of the key distinctions between humic and fulvic acids is that the humics are a larger molecule, best utilized in soil, pretty much only utilized as a soil additive. Whereas a fulvic acid can be incorporated into a foliar spray or like a root dip or something that's, it needs to be more just readily available and actually more like chelation action is taking place with fulvic acids. You know what the chelation
means? Yeah, just make it's more readily available quicker.
Bingo.
Best way to explain.
We're just breaking down organic, other organic compounds that we put in our soil or that are already in the soil that need to become plant available in order for the plant to uptake them. This type of stuff is a key element in that process. It's like turbocharging that process.
Yeah, it's going to help you absorb your nutrients at a much higher rate, especially nitrogen. Bingo.
Especially
basically nitrogen. Baby birds your plants.
That's a really good way to put it, yeah.
So I think in a lot of ways it'll allow you to actually use less...
It chews the food for your plant.
Spits it directly like
a,
in
yeah. the Yeah, I just had to just bask in the glory of that comment for a minute.
Yeah, no, it's actually a really good way to describe
chews
it.
Chews the food for your plant and spits it out like a mama bird feeding its baby. Fucking beautiful, G3. But yeah, like, this stuff is just, it's not, like, mandatory, right? Like, it's not, if you don't have it, it's not going to, like, kill you, okay?
Not to get too off track, though, that all-in-one, if you want to scroll up to that, I love that product.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I right? love all of this stuff. We all of it.
Totally are getting these guys back on the show, because I want to talk about all this stuff that's not Photo Plus, because I really do think this shit is fucking great. Like, this Nourish L is pretty much all humic and fulvics as like a fucking non-goopy liquid. You can add it right to your reservoir. Like, what? It's a no-brainer.
No, it's good. Good shit. Really good product. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what were you saying? This all-in-one?
Yeah, I like that all-in-one to start seedlings off with. I love it.
That's
all-in-one, the amino acids, the terps plus, all of them are crazy. Terps plus Bingo. Is like crack for your
plants. That between that and Photo Plus, I can actually not feed my seedlings until I get them out of the solo cups. If I get them out right away. If they start getting big, obviously, that's just not going to cut it. But it's perfect for inner cocoa, just some of that and some Photo Plus.
Hell yeah. It says a specialized formula of micro and macronutrients for vegetables and plants, which, I mean, it literally has everything you'd need in one shot. Now, this is the one that I just ran out of that I need to re-up on because, like, I use it to just fill in the gaps, man. You know, like I very little bits at a time, it goes right in the reservoir. Again, what's like, why wouldn't I use that?
Yeah, it's almost like treating it like a supplement.
Yeah, it's so I don't see deficiencies. You know, I know the plants are getting all the micros and the macros. It's all, you know, little doses. Mm-hmm. While adding this other stuff, you know,
I didn't know they had pH up and down.
Yeah, I wonder what that is because you, right? Well, you can.
The only reason I'm intrigued by it, quite frankly, I mean, most of the time, you know, a lot of it's the same, but I'd be willing to bet that that stuff is probably more pH stable than a lot of the other stuff, just based on all the research they do.
Interesting. Yeah, man. No, they. We'll get way into the nuts and bolts of
we'll definitely have to have these guys back.
They come back on, but like that's, you know, I've been really enjoying this whole line of shit, and that's one of the reasons is because it contains all of these. You know, when we talk about humic and fulvic acids, the amino acids. Like, there's other ways to get them. Okay, you can find them in just good compost. Okay, it doesn't have to be rocket science, but like we want a concentrated, you know, version of this type of stuff that I can add to a reservoir. That's the key for me. Okay,
I think that's kind of where their products really, quite frankly, shine the most is the ease of use, being able to just throw in a fucking tank and call it a day. I do have to be honest. I usually most of their products besides Photo Plus, I add to the secondary res. Just because they'll kind of stain it a little bit, you know what I mean, and get it gross.
It's a little hard to clean post.
Yeah, but you know, it doesn't really hurt anything.
It doesn't clog, from what I found. But like, yeah, it leaves that stain, like we talked about, like on your fingertips. I mean, this stuff is coal before it's coal, man. It's fucking. It's the same shit. Isn't that interesting as fuck? Like, honestly, when I learned that, I was kind of blown away.
No, it's definitely interesting. I didn't know that. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, the whole world is built up of pubic and fulvic acid.
Yeah, we use this stuff for so much, man. Not only, you know, when it does turn into like petroleum or coal, like it's used for energy all over the world. When it's in this form, like we use it for growing purposes. I mean, I don't know if there's other uses. Maybe we haven't found them yet. But like, holy shit, right? And one of the key benefits, I think you brought it up, Monster or G3, was that you can use less of whatever nutrient you're using if you incorporate some humic or fulvic acid into your regimen. So why wouldn't you add one product to add less of all the other products? You know what I mean?
No, it's definitely beneficial for anybody, especially in the beginning, early stages. I think you'll see it the most.
How do you use it for like seedlings?
So early stages on is actually when I kind of fuck around the most with like stuff like that. Like I have a fish high hydrolysate that I get from the Neptune's Harvest, because they're right down the street from me, luckily.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yep. Great product. That
fish hydrolysate, man.
Yeah, stinky like a motherfucker. Yeah. But you don't really want to be using it in flour. It's more of a veg thing
for sure.
A lot of humics and fulvics. I don't really fuck around too much with that unless I'm making a tea later on. But in the early stages is when my plants would get that stuff the most.
Cool, man.
Do you think using it early would, even if you used it early and then stopped, it would advance their nutrient uptake overall? Would it make their nutrient uptake system more robust from the get-go, I guess is what I'm getting to?
It's possible, but...
Or is it only useful while you're using it?
I think maybe it might have some residual kind of effect. I'm not sure. I'm not a plant scientist. If I had to guess, it would. But like the other thing that people don't think about is you're going to get humics and fulvics too with good compost teas. I do that a lot. So it's, but using it just directly, I only really fuck around with it in the beginning stages. Once a plant's connected to a reservoir for me, I kind of have a different approach. I like to just keep it simple. Especially with Athena, it's core and grow, or core and bloom, and then photo plus, and that's it.
And then he's got his sub reservoir when he
makes and then that. I got a sub res for teas like once
fuck
a month.
Fuck around and find out.
Yeah, yeah, and I do some experimenting every now and then. But these days, I just gotta be honest with you. I've been trying to keep it simple. One, because we're all tight right now. I mean, light bills are up, nutrient costs are up, everything's up, water's up. It's fucking crazy. So I'm just trying to keep it a little bit as simple as possible. That's just a fancier way for me of saying the secondary res doesn't get much use these days. Unless I'm doing a compost tea.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, have you used any additional humic products, G3, or like have you ever messed around with these types of things?
I mean, not specifically that I knew I was going after these acids. I just kind of have a lot of this stuff and I fuck around and see how my plants respond.
Yeah,
respond positively, then I do. But yeah, I mean, I use what is it, the angel stuff from Cold War?
All right, yeah, angel's dust. Angel's touch.
Yeah, the angel's whatever it is.
Yeah, man, we had a blast with that stuff.
Angel's black sand in a jar.
Yeah, it looks it's
beautiful. Black honestly, sand. Yeah, when I opened the jar for the first time, I just looked at it shimmer in the light, and I was like, wow, it's really pretty. It's
like carbon, you know? It looks like carbon crystals, and Yeah, no, I think this stuff is really cool. I mean, especially now that I know it's just like ancient life forms that have died for
dinosaurs.
Our usage. Need yeah, it's dinosaur bones.
Yeah, how long does it take to turn into humic or fulvic acid?
Long fucking time, man. Long fucking time. So, you know, use it. And you probably are using it. That's the thing. If you have a bagged soil that you're buying, like it's definitely got like good compost in it, which like I said, contains humic and fulvic acids. But like, I think the question was like, do you have to keep using this stuff to see an effect from it? I would say yes. It's not like a mycorrhizal fungi that like grows with the plant sort of thing, where like one early application would theoretically do you a lot of good throughout the plant's life. Like you have to keep using it.
I think humic would probably more suit that because it's in the soil and it's like you're working it and kind of like diluting it at each time you water, but fulvic definitely not. It's more like a one and done type of thing. I'd probably like to think anyway. I mean, like the humic is definitely going to linger around longer and give you more effects, I think.
Yeah, fulvic's definitely more instantaneous.
Hence why you don't want to really fuck around with humic too much directly to the, like in your root zone if you're a salt grower.
So maybe we're sensing Monsta doesn't recommend these for salt guys.
Humic? No, yeah, probably not. Yeah. No, Fulvic, 100%.
Fulvic you would, okay, but not
Humic. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I actually have powdered Fulvic that I fucking...
Well, you wouldn't think that, like, if you use... So, like, I would have met... Now, again, and I don't know, but I have to imagine that even a salt grower could use less of whatever nutrients they're using if you incorporate some of this stuff into your medium.
Yeah, I would think so, 100%.
Because, I mean, it... Again, maybe I'm totally off because it has nothing to do with like feeding the microbes and converting inaccessible nutrients.
No, it definitely helps you utilize your nutrients at a higher rate. So you could probably use less, but I'd be willing to bet that it'd probably be cheaper to use your more nutrients and less fulvic.
Yeah. All right. Word. Yeah. Because this stuff ain't cheap. It's like black gold. Did you hear?
Yeah. Definitely not cheap, but MicroLife products are pretty affordable.
It's not expensive. It is not expensive. Here, Stony always has a way with words. Think of it like a tool, a key that will unlock nutrient-tapped boxes that the plant uses to modulate growth and photosynthesis.
Yeah, that's a more elegant way of saying what we just said.
Yeah.
The goddamn it Stony, is, the wordsmith.
Yep, it just exactly that. It will help unlock nutrients that are trapped in boxes. There you go. So, like, yeah, I think it's a no-brainer, especially when I can add it to a reservoir. If you're an organic grower, you're not using humics and fulvics. Like, you're shortchanging yourself, really. It's one of the easiest ways to turbocharge your, like... The process, you're relying on the microbes to eat the nutrients and turn them into plant food, okay? Before that happens, the plant can't do shit with it. So turbocharge that process. This is the way. Follow me. Turbocharge nutrient uptake.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know. What else do we want to talk about, guys? What's going on in your grows?
Just plugging along. You know, I kind of want to address a few questions I get frequently, real quick, if you don't mind.
Love it.
So one of them I've been getting a lot lately is how do I start my seedlings and my cubes? And then, you know, basically, like, what strength am I using for my nutrients and so on throughout growth? Not going to get into too much of that, you know. I can give you a quick detail, but to start my seedlings off, I always use a light bloom mix rather than a veg mix. And I've talked about this before. It's the same thing with seeds and clones. I feel like a little bit of bloom newts are more beneficial to stimulate root growth. And there's enough nitrogen in a bloom mix to give the plant what it needs. So that little bit of my mycorrhizal or photo plus, and that's it. Simple.
And that's your like early veg mix, right?
Yep. That's what my cubes are getting, like when I'm cloning or I'm starting seeds.
Because it's phosphorus that actually helps with root growth. Correct.
Yeah, it's an old school ag trick that farmers have been using for years to get better root growth. And if you look at it, the plants thrive. That's why, like, if you look at like a lot of these rooting supplements, they're more phosphorus driven because that's what you need. So
totally.
That's what I'll start my clones off with, and my seedlings obviously a little bit lighter of a mixture like that, but that photo plus and then that's it. And then as far as what I'm feeding, I literally just keep it as simple as the Athena feed chart and heavy for most of the feed, and it's that simple. Somebody pointed out to me their chart may have changed. If you hit me up, I'll send you the chart I've been using for years. Works just fine. It's very simple. And what I like about Athena, I don't really care for the company too much, especially now. It's like they advertise themselves as a simple company with just this is all you need, but every time you fucking turn around, they've come out with something new that they say you can benefit from.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways it is. It's turning into a hipster's advanced. I'm loyal to the product because it's cheap and it works. But I'm either, it's just a three-part formula. It's core, grow, bloom. You only use two at a time. It doesn't really get much simpler than that. And it's effective. So, but yeah, it's really just that simple. They have a light, normal, heavy. I just go heavy.
And you're using core and bloom then, I assume.
Correct.
All right. When you start that out, it's a bloom mix. Yeah. And you've mentioned that you use that for autos too.
Yep. Yeah. I recently switched over my autos to bloom right off the bat. No more veg.
And that makes perfect sense, man. Like, because they are blooming literally from birth. I mean, not really.
And one of the things that'll really sneak up on you and stunt you without even you realizing it is too much nitrogen.
Yeah, I think we've learned that a lot of autos are nitrogen sensitive. And
yes. 100%.
That can be like a reason why you suck at growing them because you stunt them is because you had too much nitrogen.
Well, so if you look at the easy fix, man, use a bloom mix. Their leaves are all, the tips are all burnt. Like a little bit's okay, but burnt. And I see people doing that in organics, which is telling me that, yeah, these things are definitely too sensitive to nitrogen. If you can burn them that easily in organics, then that tells me. Oh, I need to know that. Yeah,
there's they can burn. Dark leaves out there.
Yeah, and they're like that tip, kind of that flaccid tip.
And then at the end, you look at it; it's like all bud because every leaf is like shriveled up to nothing. I see that a lot, which is frustrating. Completely unavoidable.
Why do you think that happens?
Too much newts.
Just suck all of the newt. It's like imbalanced in some way, burns the shit out of them.
It burns the leaf right off. It burns the leaf right off.
Too much.
Like it starts with tip burn and then it's like cancer. It just progresses through the whole leaf. And then every leaf on that plant just dies. And you're looking at like all these brown withered up leaves like in the bud. And that's actually the only time I would advocate wet trimming. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Oh, because you'll never get that shit out dry.
Yeah.
It'll
taste like hay for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention you're just asking for bud rot.
Mm-hmm.
That dead material just sitting there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, there's a couple other reasons why you might see that sort of thing with your plant, but burning the shit out of them with too many nutrients, especially in auto, is pretty common.
Yeah, I don't see it too much in photos, really. It's mostly autos I see like that because they get burned. I feel like they can handle the phosphorus and potassium a lot easier in higher amounts and not the nitrogen for some reason. And I don't think it's one of those things really that's auto exclusive. I think I would have to say it's most of them. I just don't like high amounts of nitrogen. And if you think about it, like, it makes perfect sense.
It does.
They're basically blooming from the beginning.
Yeah, that's exactly it. They're built to bloom.
They're built different, man.
Yeah, there is a veg period, but there really isn't. Like, it's not, it's like, you get 3 weeks, maybe. 3 weeks of veg from an auto. Like, that's, you don't need fucking nitrogen to have a three-week-old plant. Like, it's literally... What's a 21-day auto look like? Like this big? Maybe it's this big?
Depending.
Like, I mean, really, like you got a couple side branches. Like, but there's not much nitrogen involved to get it to that point.
And if you think about it, we see, like, say they've already decided to flower, and we see that around week three. That means the plant's already been thinking about it for days to a week before that.
Isn't that funny?
Take their time.
Great point. Yeah.
It's interesting, like now that we've grown photos, you're totally right. Like when you flip the lights, the day you flip, you're not seeing pistols the next day. It takes maybe a week for you to see the first fucking pistol. So think about that translated to an auto flower. Like, I mean, I've grown autos that you see the first pistol at day 14. Right?
Right. That means that girl's been thinking about flowering since, like...
Day six.
Day six.
Like, that's ridiculous to me. Like, it's so literally there's... I think it's spot on. I think this trick is going to help a lot of people, honestly. Maybe even including myself. Just don't worry about your nitrogen with autos, man. Like, for real. For real.
You're, especially, like, when you're a soccer, right? Because your base nutrient still has nitrogen in it.
Yeah.
It's not like you're eliminating it. It just, it's in a lesser amount that's more appropriate for a bloom stage.
Totally.
Which is, you know, an autoflower's life. Autoflower's life is bloom stage. So
I love it.
Yeah, so makes sense.
If you're growing autos, just pretend that veg doesn't exist. That's so 5 minutes ago. Just leave it away. Take your veg nukes, put them away.
Yeah,
we do bloom only.
We have established that you get 6 days of real, true veg. Because day zero of 12-12 translated to your auto flower's life is quite literally day five or day six.
Yeah.
Right. And do you feed your plants in the first 5 days?
And if you're listening to this now, you're obviously thinking about maybe possibly trying it. One thing I will say as a salt grower, if you do start to see some maybe yellowing of the leaves, like they're not getting enough food, bump it up. Don't take that as a sign to start feeding more nitrogen. Just bump up your base nutrients, and by default, you'll be giving it a little bit more nitrogen.
I don't think there's any bloom mix that involves, I mean, like the bloom boosters sometimes will have a zero nitrogen.
Yeah, well, those are useless. You know? You don't need those.
But we're not talking about that. We're talking about like a base bloom nutrient.
A balanced bloom nutrient. Yeah. Something that can feed your plant from A to Z for the entire duration of flower, which we've now established with autos starts on like day four.
It's fucking brilliant. It really is. And I think for all the auto people out there, this is really going to help them. I do think, you know, we're going to get bigger, badder, less over green and flaccid leaf tips. It's going to be great. Less, you know, burn when there's too much involved. Because really, we can take it too far with organics too. If we're like, you know, adding too much of this, you know, whatever kind of top dress you're using, and then we're incorporating this turbocharge humic acid type product, like we can go a little too far. We can step on the gas a little too hard.
I see it all the time.
For sure. Especially if you let your soil get too dry too. Then we're talking about, like, you know, shit, man. If you're hand watering, just take it easy. Take it easy. Get your watering down first, man. Because then, like, you know, the next time you do water, it gets like a turbo shot of a double shot of nutrients. Mm-hmm. Organic or inorganic. That's why people use that dryback period when we talk about, you know, crop steering type stuff. So, like, don't let your soil get too dry in organics, for real. Unless you know what you're doing.
Make your life easier and automate everything.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. But, man, we covered a lot of shit tonight. We really did.
Yeah, it's a good show.
I wanted to talk more autos versus photos.
Right? Better for a whole show.
I think you're right. I do want to leave you with a thought, okay? Like, which is, we've heard it said before that a person who can grow a really good autoflower can also, in all likelihood, grow a really good photo period. The opposite is not true, right? Not at all.
No.
I think an autoflower takes a different set of skills, perhaps, at least a different set of knowledge involved to grow a really good auto. It is a test of one's ability to do this thing properly, because you don't get any room to fuck up. The plants will let you know if you do.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. I that's one thing I've been thinking a little bit about, too, you know. For, like, sometimes auto people get knocked, you know, for choosing to grow an auto. But I do think it's, like, it's a harder challenge, man. If you can do that, you can fucking grow a photo period probably better than most people.
Yeah, I think they're hard. I think they're harder to grow than people give them credit for. I see people fuck them up all the time, including myself when I tried that organic experiment. That was funny.
We all do, man. We all do. But that's why I'm it's a test, man. It keeps you on your toes. And, like, you know, shout out to Autopotamus, a fellow Autopie user, right? Who always from grow after grow grows the biggest, baddest, like, behemoth fucking auto flowers that I think you can find. Like, they're fucking enormous, man. He's got a great setup for it. But I think still, you know, he is really good at what he does, man. So go check Autopotamus out on Instagram. Shout out to him. Mm-hmm. Man, I know, and if you imagine what he could do with time to veg and, like, flipping at his desired point in the grow rather than just, you know, he would 100% be able to knock it out of the fucking park.
And without a question.
So, well, while a person who I always, you know, I don't want to name any names. I'm not thinking of anyone in specifically, but photo growers can't grow autos. I don't know. That's all.
That's not true, because I can grow both. Can't
always.
Prove it.
Can't
no, prove I'm it. Go back on my page.
I'm just playing, dude. Grow more. That's what I'm saying. It's because it's always, it keeps you on your toes. Growing them is always a test to keep you, your skills sharp. You got to dot your I's, cross your T's, dot your J's, cross your X's. Are there any other dots or crosses involved? No.
No, not unless you're speaking a different language.
Just keeps you on your toes, man. I don't know. I'm excited to grow more of them. Coming soon. So we'll leave you guys until next time. Unless fucking, I don't know, G3, what's up with?
Oh yeah, I just wanted to mention. On? So we just had daylight savings, which is a great reminder that time is a construct and isn't real. So consider switching the time around in your tent if you're not already running your dark period during your day. During peak hours when your electric company is charging the most, consider running it at that time and using your light to help heat your tent at night when it's colder.
That's a great point.
Yeah, you should always be doing that. You know, it's always going to be cooler at night. You know, and the electricity use, generally speaking, in 99% cheaper. Of the places is going to be cheaper at night off peak. So. Now, if you're a photo grower and you're running 20 and 4, I mean, you can get some benefits, but you're still going to be running, you know, more towards the peak time anyway, just because there's only so many hours in a day. But real quick, fuck daylight savings time.
Oh, my God, it's the worst, isn't it?
I was going to say,
it's
too.
The worst.
I hate 5 it.
O'clock and it's dark out.
That's why I've been so tired lately. Ugh. Fucks me up for like a week, 2 weeks.
Man, fuck that shit.
And now listen, I don't like my plants are in flower. I didn't touch the timer that is attached to my light.
Yeah, yeah, real quick. I don't recommend people do that at all.
Didn't change the timer to reflect the time that it actually is now. So
the plants don't recognize daylight.
They don't care. Yeah, they don't fucking care.
Time isn't real. They want consistency.
Yeah, exactly.
Consistency and find ways to save money.
What was our episode way back that was something to do with daylight savings?
Yeah, I know.
Daylight savings. Fuck. It was some funny, involved with DLI. Daylight Savings Time or something. Yeah. I forget. It's pretty funny, man. But, yeah, it was a fun one, guys. It was a fun one. Thank you all for joining us. As always, I want to mention we have a Patreon. Go check it out. Help support us. Keep the lights on. And especially with this fucking daylight savings time nonsense. It's dark out at 4:30. But yeah, thank you guys for who have stepped up. Too many names to name, but man, you know who you are. I see a lot of you in the chat. Thank you for joining live. And thank you guys, Monster, G3.
A pleasure as always. Thank you, sir.
Damn straight.
A pleasure is all mine, really. Truly, I mean it. And until next time, don't get caught.